So we, when we were thinking about doing this retreat weekend, we were thinking, casting around for different kinds of possible topics, and we decided to do something on depression and anxiety because it's endemic, it's pandemic. Is that the word? Yeah, in our world, isn't it? If you do some research, you'll see it. There's something like 20 million people in the U.S. Who have been diagnosed with depression. 20 million, and then there are all the undiagnosed ones, which are many, many. One of the features about depression, I have a very personal stake in this. I was hospitalized for depression 20 some years ago. On suicide watch, the whole nine yards, and on antidepressants for a while, talk therapy for a while, and I know from depression. I know what it is, and it's very, very dark, and it's almost impossible to pull yourself out of it when you're in it. So one of the things that we'd like to try to do is depression prevention, because like I said, once you're in those depths, it's really, really, really difficult to get out of it. But maybe you're in those depths. Maybe you've been in those depths. Maybe you know people who are in those depths. And so we thought it was really important to try to, to provide all of us with the real tools for preventing depression and for helping ourselves and others get out of it once we're in it. Depression is a kind of a caricature of the cause of depression. So tonight we're going to talk about the real causes of depression, which, if you also sort of look at modern psychiatry, psychology, therapy, and so forth, and try to figure out what they think the causes of depression are, I'll tell you what, they just don't know. They really don't know. They say, they divide up the possible causes into external causes and internal causes. And, the external causes are pretty much anything that goes wrong with you in the world could cause depression. And the internal problems are, like medical illness or, heredity or something like that. In other words, who the hell knows, when it comes to the cause of depression? They really don't know. Could be a lot of things, right? In the real cause of depression, okay, you ready? The real cause of depression is, as I said before, a caricature of the effect. The caricature of depression itself. It's thinking about yourself all the time. It's thinking about yourself all the time. And that results, that cause results in depression. Guess who you're thinking about all the time when you're depressed? Almost impossible to think about anybody else but yourself and how bad you feel. Yeah? So it's like Mr. Karma has a kind of a perverse sense of humor. Says, oh, you want to think about yourself? Try this. Try being able to think of nothing other than how bad you feel. See? So tonight we'll talk about the real causes. That's the main cause. The main cause is selfishness. And we're all susceptible to this, aren't we? The reason, I'm pretty much convinced that the reason that depression has gotten to pandemic proportions, by the way, the World Health Organization estimates that by 2020, depression will be the world's number two killer. After heart disease or something like that, depression will be the world's number two killer. It's, it's not just in it's not just in the U.S. and Canada and places like that. It's, it's now sweeping the world. As consumer capitalism takes over, as consumer capitalism grows in its power and its tentacles, and it reaches further, depression rises. Isn't that interesting? I'm convinced that that's not accidental. That the rise of prosperity, the rise of, as measured by, the ability to buy gadgets and cars and indoor heating and stuff like that, and the rise of depression are parallel. And it's interesting to think about that. I don't know what it's like in Canada. It must be similar. I know there are Canadians here. I've learned. Canada is my second favorite country in the world, by the way. Right after Australia, so Canada is the real cool place in North America, for those of you who don't know. Anyway, it must be similar in Canada as it is in the U.S. The average income accounting for inflation, has doubled since the 1950s in the U.S. Has doubled. In my lifetime. I was born in 1953. I remember my father bringing home the first television. We didn't have a television. My father brought home a television. And then we watched it all the time. Yeah. You know, I think many people in this room can, you know, tell similar stories of, you know, of the first computer, the first, you know, the first, your first car, you know, your first washing machine, dryer, you know. And now everyone's got these things. Have you noticed? Like it's, you know, one of the most traumatic things nowadays is having to go shopping for someone else, like for a birthday present or something like that, because everyone's got everything. Everyone's got everything, and that, even in our lifetime, that has not been the case. I remember when when Christmas would come around and my sisters would get a doll. The doll. You see, they didn't have a doll, they got a doll for Christmas. Now it's like, you know, all these girls have infinite dolls. You have to go and find like Arab Barbies and stuff like that. You know, like exotic, weird, you know, variations on the theme, isn't it? We all have everything, right? And depression is on the rise. Why is that? Is there some kind of correlation? And I suggest to you that there definitely is. And here's how I think it goes. We were promised happiness through the stuff. We were promised happiness if you got a car, if you got a house, if you got a washer, a dryer, an iPod, an iPad, you will be happy. And we got it all. You see? We got it all. And we got to the end of the rainbow and there's nothing but a pile of poo-poo. You know, we're still left with our unhappiness. We're swimming in our consumer goods and are still unhappy. And that then people really crash, you know, because they put all the bets on that horse, you know, and then there's nothing left. Now what? And you know, only I think at this point the most unobservant people are still chasing the next consumer good, thinking, oh, well, finally that'll bring me happiness. I mean, what do we think after 60 years of this kind of thing? Bait and switch. Bait, you know that term, bait and switch? They put the bait out, and as soon as you go for it, they switch it up. You know, here, have an iPod. As soon as you go for it, it's, oh, that old big iPod? You don't have the teensy-weensy iPod. You have the big old clunky iPod. What about this one? Oh, I got the teensy-weensy one, but it's not in mauve. I have it only in black. You see, right? Bait and switch. 60 years now, since the end of World War II, of bait and switch. What did you think, that they're going to finally roll out the last consumer good? Say, no, this time really, honest to God, cross our fingers, this is the last one. If you buy this one, then you'll finally be happy. We won't ever come to you again and say that one's no good anymore. That you need something more. When do you think they're going to happen? When's that going to happen, you see? So people like us, you know, we have a chance. We have a chance that literally billions of people around the world will never have. We know the stuff won't make us happy. We have first-hand experience. You try and tell that to the 3 billion people living on $2 a day. They will never understand that. That the stuff won't make you happy. If only I had, you know, indoor heating, indoor plumbing. If only I, you know, had a house, I'd be happy. If only I had a scooter, a motor scooter, I could get to, you know, my work in 15 minutes instead of 2 hours walking. You know, if only I had these things, I'd be happy. 3 billion people on $2 a day. How long would it take you to go through $2? See, how many seconds per day does it take us to go through $2? You see, people living their whole day on $2. They will never know what you know. That the happiness isn't in the things. It isn't in prosperity. And so we have a chance. We have a chance to really go for the true sources of happiness. Because we have experience at what the true sources aren't. Yeah? We have personal, first-hand experience of the fact that the money, the prosperity, the vacations, the endless entertainment, You know, watching it, thousands of channels, still nothing on. You know the old joke, right? I haven't had a TV now for, I don't know, 10, 15 years. I get suckered in every single time. So, you know, when I travel, sometimes, I stay in a hotel, in a motel. And there's a television. I'm going, it's a long day, and long day traveling, I'm really tired. I'll kick back and I'll watch a little TV. And it's just, oh my God, once you get detoxed from the TV, you just, you go back to it and it's just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. It's just like all that's on TV is oh my God shows. Just, my old joke is like there's two shows on television, really, two shows. And it's verified for me every time I watch it. There's the stupid show. The stupid show comes in all kinds of forms. Every sitcom is the stupid show. The reason that sitcoms are on TV is they're appealing to the lowest common denominator. That's how they get their ratings. Is they're appealing to the lowest common denominator, the most, the stupidest jokes they can possibly find. The stupid show also now includes many, many reality shows. So-called reality shows. Reality shows, I think, bridge the two kinds of shows. The stupid show, many of them are on the stupid show. But then there's the awful show. The stupid show and the awful show. The awful show are all dramas, all news shows, news programs, and many, many of the reality TV shows, where people are set up in awful situations to do awful things to one another or to embarrass themselves. And we're watching this for entertainment. This is our form of entertainment, you see. So people are just wasting their lives like this, just totally wasting their lives, watching 6.5 hours now. 6.5 hours the average television is on. This is in an age where people are also diverted by the internet, by, games, by video games, all kinds of other things, in addition to watching TV. The television time watching, average time watching, continues to rise. As all these other entertainment packages also come in. Entertaining ourselves to death. We're just entertaining ourselves to death. Fiddling as Rome burns. So, people like us, people in this room, we have a chance, you see. We have an opportunity that many, many millions of our friends and neighbors, of our countrymen, people who live in the same society that we are oblivious to. This is real, this is real compassion. You should have compassion for people who are sitting around watching 6.5 hours of television a day. The awful show and the stupid show. Everything that you put in front of your mind affects your mind. Everything that you put in front of you is like a mirror. Your mind just takes on the qualities of it. You see? Imagine 6.5 hours over and over and over again. By the time, I think that the 6.5 hours stats is how long the TV's on. I think the average person now is watching 4.5 hours. But if you do the math, what is it, Cindy? 4.5 hours, by the time you're 65, you will have watched 9 years of television. What a waste. What a waste of a life. 9 years sitting in front of the stupid show or the awful show. Then some people raise their hand and go, no, I just watch PBS. Or what's the Canadian one? CBS? The public television. Yeah, I just watch. Well, there's plenty of stupid shows on PBS too. Stupid show with British accents or something like that. And then there's plenty of awful shows on PBS also. Terrible. Watching other people suffering for your amusement is the awful show. Okay? That's the awful show. And most news programs are of exactly that quality. If you intend to do something about the news that you're watching, that's one thing. But if you're just watching it to pass the time, what exactly is that all about? You see what I mean? It's just like, the Romans. We're in exactly the same place where they would haul their whole families out to watch wild animals, tear Christians apart live in the Colosseum. And almost all of our entertainment system, it's very much of that same order, actually. So 4.5 hours, this is a waste of life, you see. Get serious. Break loose of your culture. You've got to, you see. You can't trust your culture. You can't trust your authorities. Question authority, for sure. They're leading you down the wrong path. This is not the way to be happy. It's not the way to live a fulfilled, happy life. So we have a chance, you see. We have a chance to break free. We have a chance to do something different. We have a chance to be truly an individual in a society of, is it lemons? What do they call lemon? Lemmings. Lemmings, right? Lemmings. Not lemons. Lemmings. You know, just kind of like mindlessly going through life, mindlessly, you know, following whatever the advertisers are telling them will be the next, you know, the next product to buy to be happy, the next show to watch, the next movie to see, the next blockbuster in 3D, you see? There's nothing wrong with these things. I'm not saying that, you know, you can't ever go to the movies again or ever watch television, although why you would ever want to watch television is beyond me. I was watching it the other night. I tried the other night, once again. Got hooked, got suckered in. I watched it for 45 minutes. The best thing I could find on television was that 70s show, which is really stupid. And that was the best. That was the best thing on. Was like one of the most stupid sitcoms ever. The other ones were worse. And then there are plenty of terrible shows on. You see, you know, if you haven't broken out of the addiction, you don't even know. You see, you don't even know how toxic it is. You're sucked in, you're so sucked into it you don't even recognize it until you detox for a while, and then you go back to it. And it's, you know, it's relatively easy to go back to it. It's everywhere. It's in all the public spaces now. You know, you go to the hospital, it's there. You go to the airport, it's there. You know, it's just blaring. You know, Orwell was right. It's everywhere now. Orwell couldn't even have imagined, you know, how ubiquitous television has become. Everywhere, all over the place. You can't really escape it unless you really, really try, unless you really make an effort, unless you discipline yourself to live a sane life.